This is Jay Sekulow. The Iranian economy on the brink and the sanctions go into effect.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The response was quick. Just in the last few hours, the French oil giant Total has said it will quit its multi-billion dollar gas project in Iran, pushing up oil prices immediately. And while the European Union has vowed to counter the sanctions to keep the Iran deal alive by telling companies to increase business in Iran, it just hasn't worked. And European car giants Daimler, Peugeot and Renault all now saying they too will suspend ventures as well.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
With respect to the statement of the three European governments, their major businesses are already making the decision about what they're going to do in response to the reimposition of American sanctions. And in overwhelming proportions, they're deciding they'd rather do business in the United States than in Iran.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So at 12:01 this morning, the President of the United States put into effect, the reimposition of sanctions. The Iran, and this is what the President tweeted after the sanctions went into effect. The Iran sanctions have been officially been cast. These are the most biting sanctions ever imposed. And in November, they ratchet up yet again to another level. Anyone doing business in Iran will not be doing business with the United States. I'm asking for world peace, nothing less. Mercedes-Benz announced that they have pulled out of a joint venture with the Iranian. By the way, if you're doing business with Iran, you're doing business with the Ayatollahs. The Mercedes-Benz has pulled out. The Iranian president, Hassan Rouhani, responded to the sanctions by balking at the notion of diplomatic talks with the president, saying if you stab someone with a knife and then you say you want talks, then the first thing you have to do is remove the knife. In other words, we'll sit down and talk with you if you remove the sanctions. What does that mean? They know that these sanctions, these biting sanctions, crippling sanctions, are already having an impact on the Iranian economy.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so when you have, as John Bolton said in that interview, the European leaders can talk, and the European Union, which has been crumbling with Brexit and all these other issues that they're dealing with, can talk as much as they want, but these are private companies. So I think when you have these major brands, whether it's the oil companies preparing for the next round of sanctions, which go into place in the next 90 days, and but of course, they knew that this was coming, or a major brand like Mercedes-Benz, which I think sends a message to the world as well, and maybe not as big as some of the oil companies familiar with U.S. audience, but when you have those kind of name brands saying, no way, you realize this is a crippling economic effect. Think about the thousands, maybe tens of thousands of jobs that were coming that are no longer there. The manufacturing, we talk about in our country, that's not coming there. The factory that's not going to be built or is being halted from being built. This is serious, and this is only round one. When you hit the oil sector, 89 days from now, that's basically it for Iran. I mean, it's very difficult to do any business at all for companies that are also doing business with us here in the United States.
Let me go to our director of policy, Harry Hutchinson, on this. So, Harry, looking at it, you've had less than, it's been in effect now for 12 hours. What impact is it having already? Well, we saw Mercedes-Benz.
It's having an immediate and dramatic effect on Iran and Iranian investments. So while the Iranian government and the European community both work to thwart the impact of sanctions, it is clear that multinational corporations are not stupid. And so you have Mercedes-Benz, Total, Renault, Volkswagen. All of those entities have indicated that they are going to pull out of Iran. Why? Because the Europeans' trade with the United States equals over $1 trillion. So $10 billion with Iran or $1 trillion with the United States, I think we know what the answer is going to be.
All right, we're going to take your calls and comments on this. Do you support the president's crippling sanctions on Iran? We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We want to know your comments and thoughts on this. At the same time, Pastor Youssef Nardakhani, do you remember him? He was an Iranian pastor, Christian pastor, was in jail. We worked to secure his release. We did. He has now been beaten. That's right, physically attacked by Indian Revolutionary Guards and arrested again, and he's back in Evan prison. This is now also impacting humanitarian issues. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. We come back from the break.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
So we always favor diplomacy and talks, but talks needs honesty. This is coming from the Islamic regime in Iran. Talks need honesty. Is that there? There's a statement for you. Trump calls for direct talks as only for domestic consumption in America ahead of elections to create chaos in Iran. Well, that's not true. But let me tell you this: the impact on Iran is already being felt. We've talked about a little bit of those sanctions. I want to get Wes Smith, Colonel Smith, of course, our senior military analyst, to be engaged on this. Your reaction so far to these sanctions and the way it's already been playing out.
Yeah, as I said during the break, these sanctions are biting. They include not only metals like steel, aluminum, precious metals. They include commercial aircraft. And get this, Jay, they include any financial transactions that that use United States banknotes. The world uses U.S. banknotes,
right.
And those transactions as of midnight are forbidden. Not only that, even though the European Union is talking a tough talk, last week, Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, refused to release $400 million that Iran has in reserves in German banks and the Central Bank of Germany. That Iran has a bank in Hamburg, Germany.
Yeah.
There are several hundred million euros in that bank that belong to Iran. The Bundesbank, the central bank, has refused to release those euros to go back to Iran.
We've got an interesting call coming in. I don't know if are we ready for that call right now? We can. I want to take the call because we always want both views on this. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take Larry on line four.
Hey, Larry.
Hi. Let me first state that I am a supporter of Israel and its right to exist, but I do not support sanctions against Iran at this time.
Okay.
Because I believe it only goes to help punish the people of Iran and their ability to purchase goods such as food items, and that continued sanctions could further destabilize the area, and that's not in America's interest, Israel's interest, or the world's interest.
So here's the situation, Larry, and this I'm glad you called because we want to get it's great to get opposing views. Here's my thought on that. Number one, the sanctions. Well, look, I'm not going to disagree that the sanctions will have an economic impact on the people of Iran. But I will tell you this, the Iranian people are revolting on this. Not against the United, this is not death to America. This is not death to Israel. The calls on the streets are saying no more. I don't know if we have the one about no more funding of Hamas, no more funding of the bombs. Let's go ahead and I want to play this for you, Larry, so you get a sense of this.
Do we have it?
This unidentified woman removed her headscarf, an increasingly common way for Iranian women to protest, and began addressing others.
Let's build our country with our own hands. People, do not be afraid. If we stand together and united, neither internal or external powers can confront us. We are Iranians. It is not our business what is happening in Palestine, Syria, Iraq, or Lebanon. Why should all our resources go to them?
So you've got, Larry, you have a real sense here that the, and I think this is the fact, that the people of Iran understand that these sanctions are going to have an impact, but they're already on the streets, Jordan.
Yeah, they're already on the streets. We've even seen clerics engage this. Clerics of, you know, the 12er Shia Islam movement on the corruption issue. So I think, Larry, remember, when you have these kind of regimes and you remove sanctions, it had not yet, it was barely getting to the point where even that was positively impacting people. It was maybe long-term, they feel like maybe some investment was coming. But the money is siphoned off by
the
Iranian Revolutionary Guard to go run wars that they're, by the way, not having great success in. In whether it's the Houthi rebels in Yemen trying to back up the Assad regime and this fight against ISIS, but also fight against rebels. And so when you have clerics, he looks the same if you saw the imagery of a Rouhani or the Ayatollah. I mean, this is someone who is part of their movement who has said this corruption. I think this is going to be an interesting line here. So when you have the religious leaders, also the local religious leaders starting to move with the protesters who may be more secular. I mean, this is what happened when the Iranian Revolution happened in 1979, is you had a movement of anti-dictator,
yep,
plus some the religious fanatics. The religious fanatics ended up taking over, unfortunately.
Yep.
But you're starting to see that group coalesce. That's unusual there.
Let's play. I think it's important. We like playing evidence for you. So let me give you, this is coming off of Al Jazeera, and this is a cleric, Kazim Sadiq. And this is, it's translated from Farsi, but here it is.
Delivering this week's Friday sermon, this preacher said, the economy is affecting everything, and fixing it is the key to happiness for everyone. He blamed government mismanagement and high-level corruption for Iran's economic troubles.
Corruption should be confronted seriously. When it comes to fighting violators, there should be no exceptions, regardless of their position, their relatives, or their contacts. These traitors must be confronted decisively.
This is coming from the Iranian clerics. So I'm going to go first to Harry Hutchison on this, to Professor Hutchison, because this is something we have not seen before.
Absolutely. So it's important to note, by way of background, that the social fabric in Iran is already eroding. People cannot afford rice, bread, and sugar, while the mullahs are enjoying luxury lifestyles. One of the great things about the reimposition of sanctions today is that the pain will now be felt by Iranian leaders. It's about time. It's about time that they feel the pain that the Iranian people have been feeling for decades, if not certainly years. And so it's important to realize that the funds from the Iran nuclear deal were not utilized to improve the lives of the Iranian people.
No, it was used, West, to export terrorism.
Exactly.
And they're the largest exporter of terrorism in the world.
And you have to ask the question, and I appreciate Jerry's call, why did we withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal, and why are we imposing sanctions? It's not willy-nilly. We're not doing it to hurt the Iranian people. There are several things involved here. The reason there are sanctions, the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal, allowed them to continue to enrich uranium, and in 10 years would allow them to pursue a nuclear weapon. Plus, it did not address at all their ballistic missile program, where they are testing, even as we speak, ballistic missiles capable of carrying nuclear weapons, as well as their exportation of terrorism. So the sanctions are designed to bring Iran back into the community of nations and to stop their nuclear program and their hostile actions. And unfortunately, I think it's going to take sanctions like this to bring them to the table.
In the cleric we played, these are not reformists. So in the sense of, they are not in this reformist.
They're not the moderating religious force.
He's a 12er Shia Islam. He is the head of the Tehran prayer on Fridays. He was appointed by the Ayatollah to do that. I mean, this is someone who is, though, I think, realizing what we discussed yesterday. I could be in jeopardy. My family could be in jeopardy. So maybe I'm going to start siding with a different faction. I also think this could be a move by the, not the president of Iran and not the normal military of Iran, but the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and the Ayatollah shifting the blame to the president, which would be what? A precondition, and without precondition to sit down with President Trump.
Could say that again.
If you get extremist clerics to criticize the government, which they differentiate from the Ayatollah,
right?
And the Iranian Revolutionary Guard also is not part of that government. They are totally separate from the normal military. If you get the clerics endorsing that to the radicals, you can sit down with the President of the United States without worrying about retribution from them.
That's a big deal. All right.
And the secular groups there, I think, would be pleased with that, though you still have to be very careful with these guys.
Yeah, so on another Iranian cleric, correct, this is from our friends at Memory in Israel. They do a great job on this. They monitor all the Islamic websites and audio. This is a cleric's name is Saeed Mohammed, describes the regime as corrupt, thieving. Our country is beyond repair. Our revolution was not so that they could eat from our pockets. How long are we supposed to protect their interests? These are very, like Jordan said, there's all, you're playing nine-dimensional chess here, which what's going on, Harry. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So it's also important to keep in mind that the reimposition of the sanctions by the United States reflects the goal of getting the Iranian regime to stop destabilizing the Middle East, Syria, Yemen, etc. And so what the Iranian government has done, it has taken the money from the people, if you will, and it has used the money to fuel foreign wars. It's used the money to fuel terrorism, to support Hamas and Hezbollah. Meanwhile, the Iranian people are starving, and that is why they're saying death to unemployment and death to inflation rather than death to the United States.
All right, we're getting great comments coming in and great calls. So we're going to take some calls. We're trying to go through as many as we can in each segment to keep the lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We want to know what you think of the president's policy with Iran. How do you view this? How do you view Iran on the world stage? And what do you think this means for the European Union? They're in a very interesting spot. Wes is agreeing with me here. They're in a very tough spot, the European Union, and the companies are already saying no, and the European Union is trying to fix it, and it's not going to work.
No, it's not. The bottom line is more important than a political stance, which is what the European Union is trying to take.
Yeah, all right, we'll take your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget also the ACLJ We're in a Matching Challenge campaign. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for you. Do that at aclj.org. It's aclj.org, so we encourage you to do that. Again, also, if you want to talk to us on air, our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Crippling sanctions finally put in place. Boy, they've been talking about crippling sanctions for 10 years. Now they're actually happening. Look at the impact it's had in 12 hours. We can get more in detail on this. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break. Again, if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
In the White House announcement of the reimposition of sanctions, it included the following statement from the president: our policy is based on a clear-eyed assessment of the Iranian dictatorship, its sponsorship of terrorism, and its continuing aggression in the Middle East and all around the world. So these are already having a big, big impact. We're going right back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Let's go to Daniel in New York online, too. Daniel, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Daniel. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The European Union needs to know, and all these companies that are pulling away from Iran need to know, this is a great investment erring on the side of the truth, because the Iranian regime is doing about a quarter of its business of its potential. If these sanctions have their ways, these companies will more than double their business with Iran in the future. So it's a great investment to err on the side of the truth, and I want to make that point very clear. And we need, as Christians, I didn't tell you a screener this, but we in Western New York went down to New York City in the last fall to support the Iranians, and they're great people, and the Lord loves those people.
Oh, I've been very complimentary on the Persian people. I mean, they are industrious. They have added a lot to science and mathematics. They're smart people. And I think you're right. I think once you can unleash that economy in a system that's not corrupt, I think the impact will be phenomenal for the people of Iran. But the Ayatollahs are siphoning off the revenue. They are robbing it from the people. And the clerics, as we said in the last segment, are starting to say that.
Yeah, I don't think it's a 5-year plan, but I think ultimately this could be our kind of balance to Turkey in Iran. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the kind of ally it could become over time, if this regime were to fall, and that you don't let they pull this stunt where the clerics are blaming it on the guys that they appoint as president, which looks like their move is going to be blame the politicians who they basically put in power.
Right.
Blame the politicians. Don't blame us, the religious leaders and the Guardian Council.
Throw it out that way.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting comment though. Ted Cruz just tweeted this. The protests are intensifying across Iran right now, show us yet again that the Iranian people yearn to throw off the yoke of an oppressive regime. But Jordan just raised a really important point. What the Ayatollahs are going to do, you're not getting this kind of analysis anywhere else, let me tell you that. What the Ayatollahs are going to do is you're going to start seeing that they're going to blame the politicians.
Oh, they'll throw them in jail. They'll throw them in jail and execute them. They'll hang them in the streets. That's typically it's happened before. Ahmadinejad's family has had trouble since, even though he started, and we now know he started this negotiation that opened up ultimately, the Iranian economy was much more radical in the sense of what he was connected to with the Ayatollahs. And they've gone after his family, gone after a lot of the families that have been associated. So that would be their traditional move. The truth is, though, is that enough for the people of Iran to say, oh, we're actually going to accept that you have no control here when you have all the control if you can put these guys in jail? The president of Iran is not the president of the United States. It's a very weak position compared to basically anywhere else in the world. I mean, there's a dictator above the government who can blame the government.
Exactly. That's a very good analysis.
And so if we look at this from a purely economic perspective, the focus on military adventurism and government misrule by the mullahs impairs the Iranian economy going forward, as well as its gross domestic product and the ingenuity of the Iranian people. And so if there is regime change going forward, the Iranian economy can grow exponentially and become an important player in the world's economy. And long run, the Iranian people will be better off.
We're going to go right back to the phones. We're getting great comments coming in as well. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's go. Logan is working on a project. I said that the other day. Is Logan hiding in a bunker? No, Logan is working on a big project. That's what he does. All right.
Warren is in South Carolina on line 3. Warren, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Warren, go ahead.
Hi, I'm a Canadian. I live in Alberta, Canada. I'm a long-haul trucker.
Yes, sir.
You had a caller that said that it's going to hurt the Iranian people who are backing it. So I just want to tell you what happened in Alberta. We had our premier called Ralph Klein. He came in. Alberta was almost bankrupt, and he cut taxes, and he cut.
Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
That truck, and everybody backed him except union government employees. 6 years he had us debt-free, and we backed him for it, and they started teasing that he was King Ralph. It was a tease. But anyways, because he really helped the province. What Trump is doing is going to help the people in Iran that are backing this. Yes, it will help them, but when you go through some little pain knowing you're going to get a great benefit in the future, you take the pain. You take the pain, you say,
well,
thank
God.
Well,
I say, here's the answer to that. I mean, is it going to hurt in the short term? Yes. In the long term, what does it mean? Freedom from the Iranian people. It's worth the price. Is it going to cost the United States to pay more money, maybe in Canada too, for gasoline? Maybe. Is it worth the price to stabilize that region of the world? The answer to that is absolutely yes. I don't think this is a close call. And you're seeing this unbelievable divide, which I'm going to explore in the next half hour of the broadcast, that Jordan raised between the Ayatollahs and the politicians. They control the politicians, but they will turn on them in a nanosecond, which is probably what's happening right now. Talking about so what does this mean for our military, Colonel Smith? I mean, what kind of situation is that the military, you know, we have ships in the region. Mm-hmm. What does it mean for them?
Well, certainly Iran has very few options, very few direct actions against the United States because of these sanctions. But one of the things that they do have a history of doing, in addition to exporting terrorism, is to harass the United States Navy in the Persian Gulf region. And the other thing is the president of Iran.
Which is very dangerous to do under this president.
Very dangerous. Think. Well, and it's dangerous for our sailors, too. Iran has about 300 fast boat patrol boats. They also have 33 submarines. So they have the potential to inflict some damage. I think if they tried to use one of their submarines to sink one of our ships, that'd be a suicidal move for the Iranian military and for the government. But on the other hand.
But you remember what they did when they captured the Navy? Our sailors that
humiliated
time.
Them.
Humiliated them and humiliated us.
Yes,
and
exactly.
President Obama did nothing. Did nothing. I Jordan raised this the other day. I'm not convinced that under our rules of engagements now we would ever be allowed to be put in that position.
Absolutely not. And as a matter of fact, that young naval officer was really caught on the carpet by the United States Navy for surrendering and for letting that happen.
But that was the coming right from the top.
Exactly,
you know that.
Exactly.
Coming right from the top.
Yes. He.
Because then they would have said, oh, we would have had a conflict with Iran. Does anybody think the United States is not going to win in a military conflict with Iran? Guess what?
Right.
We win. I don't think that will happen. There's no need for it to happen. And I think these Ayatollahs are bluffing, and they're about to fall, and it's about to crumble on them. That's what I think.
When Rouhani said the other day, though, that he intimated he might block the shipping lanes in the Persian Gulf.
He'll start a war that he'll lose in 15 minutes.
The longstanding policy of the United States, going back to President Carter, is that we will use military force if necessary, to keep the shipping lanes open.
You know, this has been as old as world history, the shipping lane issue. I remember the Turks did this was the Dardanelles that the British had to deal with. I mean, this is as old as history itself.
The Barbary Coast.
But could you imagine, I mean, let's remember who we are.
They have a bunch of go-fast boats and a few submarines. We have aircraft carriers in the region. We can take your city out in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole city.
Cruise missiles.
I mean, in a minute.
Yes.
So you may be able to get your go-fast boats. I'm not saying there would be no casualties inflicted on both sides. But the truth is, do you want to do that to the Iranian people? No, you'd rather economically sanction. That pain is a lot easier to recover from than having to level cities, which you don't want to have to do in 2018. That is not the way you want to have to conduct these. But they pull a stunt like that, and it won't just be those boats being taken out, I don't think.
All right, we're taking your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. Fascinating broadcast and a lot of great information. You don't get the full hour of the broadcast, and a lot of you do now. A lot of the stations are picking up the whole hour. I know KBRT just did in Los Angeles. We're thrilled with that. Of course, SiriusXM. But also go to ACLJ.org. We are streaming the broadcast there, both audio and video. You can also go to our other social media platforms, Periscope and Facebook, where we are on the air also right now, broadcasting to you. And we'll take your calls when we come back at 1-800-684-3110. And don't forget the matching challenge, the ACLJ at aclj.org.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
I'm talking about freedom. We will fight for
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So back 90 days ago when President Trump withdrew from the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, as it was called, it initiated what's called the snapback sanctions, which would reimpose would be reimposed after 90 and 180 days. So the 90-day period's already started. So the wind-down period gave these companies a time to adjust. The 90-day period's over. This morning at 12:01, the president put into effect these sanctions. They're having already a significant impact. The sanctions went into effect, and this is what they purchase or acquisition of the United States banknotes. In other words, they can't trade in U.S. currency. That's crippling to the Iranians. Iran's trade in gold and other precious metals also sanctioned. Graphite, aluminum, steel, coal, and software used in industrial processes, same thing. Transactions related to the Iranian currency is prohibited. But on November 5th, during the 180-day period, Iran's port operators, energy and shipping and shipbuilding sectors are impacted. Their petroleum-related transactions, that's oil, and transaction by foreign financial institutions with the central bank of Iran is already having dramatic impact on this issue. And you're seeing a divide between the clerics right now, which is fascinating, between the clerics and the clerics, in other words, the Ayatollahs who run everything, and then the what I would call the clerics in the street, the ones that run the mosques, they are pointing their fingers at the clerics that are the Ayatollahs saying, you are siphoning off the wealth of the Iranian people. And you've got the clerics, the Ayatollahs saying to the politicians, this is your fault, even though we all know that the politicians are put in place by the Ayatollahs. So you've got an inter-Iranian, inter-Persian, inter-religion conflict that's developed out of this, Jordan, and you say that's going to be very significant in and of itself.
Yeah, I think that you have to make sure, if you get to that level, I don't think we're there yet, but if you get to the point where you're talking about regime changing, you want to make sure that the regime is just letting more clerics empowered who took a different, or the same clerics
and I don't
empowered.
Think the, I don't think the people of Iran will allow that.
But I think the people of Iran are not, they're not weaponized. So they're not this, you know, this is why we these countries like the United States, we have Second Amendments and things like that. I mean, that's the truth why it exists, you know, having these militias if these issues come up. That is something covertly, that's a next step from the U.S. I mean, I think that that would be a huge, that's probably more likely than a direct military confrontation, is to make sure that there would be some access to be able to fight. Because that's what it would, there would be, there could be civil conflict, because you do have a people with a serious economic interest in at least maintaining the clerical control. You could overthrow the entire government, but they want to maintain the clerical control for economic reasons as well as religious. So you have to, when you start uniting together, I think they better remind themselves of what they happened to them more than 30 years ago when they started taking to the streets together and letting the clerics join the same protest as the secularist progressives. Yeah.
Because that ended up becoming the Iranian Revolution, which is now trying
weapons.
To export around the world. So all of this has got to be in play. Fascinating discussions. I don't think we have time to grab one. Well, our producer's saying no. We'll grab, I'll tell you what, James, you're calling from New Mexico. We're going to grab you, your call, as soon as we come back from the break. So we will do that. Let me say a couple things that I want to say at the outset here. I think that this is a unique opportunity to impact the geopolitical situation in the Middle East. Why? Because Iran is the largest exporter of state sponsor of terrorism. They are the ones that fund Hamas. They fund Hezbollah. They will find, even though they're Shia, they will fund the Sunni, which is Hamas. They don't care about that. I mean, ultimately they would care, be a clash within Islam. But as I said, you've got this inter-Iranian conflict going on right now where the head clerics, the Ayatollahs, are blaming the politicians, who they appoint, by the way. They're not real elections there. You have the what I would call street-level clerics. Those are the imams in the mosques saying that the Ayatollahs are siphoning off the wealth of the people. So you've got this inter-religious conflict. You've got an inter-political conflict going on. And simultaneously, you have this. What does the Iranian Revolutionary Guard do when there is no money for them to be funded? That's what crippling sanctions are all about. We're going to take a look at all these issues when we come back from the break. We're going to take your phone calls as well. There's a lot to talk about on what is a major topic right now. Your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls and comments when we come back. We've got a video coming up for those that are watching on Facebook or Periscope on our other social media platforms. There's a lot more ahead. But again, if you want to talk to us on air, we've cleared a couple lines for you. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
A lot going on in the front, on the Iranian sanctions front. We've got a lot of calls and comments coming in at 1-800-684-3110. We've got comments coming in also on our social media platforms at Facebook and Periscope. So we'll take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones. I said we'd go to James first. Let's do that, Jordan.
Yep. James is calling in from New Mexico on line one. James, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, James.
Hi. Yeah, I have a quick question and a comment.
Sure.
You had a previous caller who stated that he disagreed with the economic sanctions on Iran.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily disagree with those sanctions. But what we're talking about is how the people are affected and how previously leadership had not been affected by any efforts on the parts of our government. Is it possible if the people begin to suffer significantly in Iran that we could actually send some type of
humanitarian
aid or or humanitarian aid or something like that?
James, it's a great question. Jason on Facebook asked the same thing. He said, is there any way to get humanitarian aid to the people while enforcing sanctions? Difficult, I will tell you. I mean, part of the price of this is that you have to, that people are going to have to realize, and they, and listen, I think the people of Iran are recognizing that they're going to go through a tough time here, and that's probably what causes things to change.
Jordan. I mean, not like they were going through a great time before, for the most part. We had a small elite, and then the religious clerics and this Iranian Revolutionary Guard. So, remember, you get outside of Iran too. We have, there's some major cities, a huge country, but there's also a lot of rural areas. You've got to be able to ratchet up pressure enough where it's just not people in Tehran and a few other coastal cities that are used to having some, you know, shopping malls and food all over the stores. You know, it's not Venezuela at this point. The shopping markets are still full. It's the inflation that's causing the issue. So I think the idea is, unfortunately, in these kind of situations, to build an opposition movement that is significant and people driven, not U.S. driven, in the sense of we're not taking the it's not all of, you know, military. But it's the people ultimately responding. It's maximum pressure means maximum pressure. So you've got to somehow have an effect where it's not just the billionaires being affected in Iran, but it's the farmer. So how does that happen? It's fully sanctioning every aspect of their economy in a country that wasn't used to it for a few years.
So I do understand the concern for humanitarian aid. I mean, we completely get this. That's why you hope this is short term. But Harry, what is the economic impact? This will have an economic impact on the. You've been studying this extensively. What happens here?
Well,
How does it come into play? In other words, what starts happening now?
Well, first, it's very important to remember that the United States government must clearly enforce the sanctions, despite the efforts by the European community leaders. Why is that important? Because when the sanctions bite, and they are biting already, this will place maximum pressure on Iranian leaders to either change or get out of the way. So one of the most important things that we can do is we can make sure that if the European community tries to offset U.S. sanctions, that we redouble our efforts to impose them directly on European firms so that they will get out of Iran voluntarily, even if they have to pay a price to their own governments, to the European community. I think it's very, very important to note this, that the European community seems more impressed by the clerics than the Iranian people. Yep. They seem to want to help them stay in power. It's difficult for me to understand why that is the case, but I think it clearly is.
All right, right to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. Claudette is calling from Georgia. Online for Claudette. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Claudette. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. You mentioned that Pasin Nadarkhani is now re-imprisoned. I'm just trying to find out if he didn't get the idea, or maybe somebody should have counseled him to leave Iran, knowing that the sanctions were coming, because clearly it appears as though he's being used as a bargaining chip.
He was arrested on July 22nd. Now, it was 5 years ago that we celebrated his victory due to our legal advocacy work and the work of other groups to secure his release. He doesn't want to leave Iran. He's Iranian. This is not the situation that we had with Saeed Abedini, who was an American, dual national in one sense, but was an American citizen. This is an Iranian citizen who wants to share his faith in his country of origin, Iran. So you've worked on that case,
Jordan. That's right. I do think that there may be links. He's had issues in between that time period, not as significant as this.
Yeah.
He went over to the UK, so he's been out. He traveled out, so if he wanted to stay out, any of those countries would have granted asylum to him and his family. But he didn't want to do that, so you have to respect those decisions of clients and people you represent. That being said, I think that they may be trying to play that. I think that they must not be paying great attention to how our government has been handling this, even with friends.
Right.
So look at the Andrew Brunson matter. Look at the North Korea issue. I mean, the sanctions are not. It's not like we pulled sanctions from North Korea to sit down with them. We increased the sanctions to sit down with them. We just kept even tightening up. So I think these are bad. This is the old playbook of Iranian leaders, likely, that is going to just, I think, for our president and for our government, the opposite of how the Obama administration would handle things, which is paying out and making concessions. This is the government who says, okay, in 2030 morning, we're going to take away your oil. And by the way, what happens next? You know, it's a lot different under the Trump administration.
Go ahead, Wes.
Memory is a powerful thing, Jay. There's a whole generation of Iranians who remember what life was like before the religious mullahs took over. As oppressive as the Shah was at times, the mullahs, their rule is much more oppressive. Under the Shah of Iran, that generation of people, they remember what it's like to have financial prosperity, freedom to travel, education. Yep. They also, importantly, and this speaks to the caller, they remember what it was like before the theocracy to have freedom of religion. They also had a military that was trained and armed by the United States. All of this changed in 1979. There's a generation of Iranians, God bless them, who remember what life was like before.
Yeah, we did a whole movie on this, what is the link for that, Will? I want to find out. We'll do that coming back from the break. We did the movie called The Export. I mean, talk about timely. I mean, it's timely, like, right now. So there's some great information there. Let's go ahead and take another phone call. 1-800. And by the way, we're clearing some lines up for you. So 800-684-3110.
Jonah in New York, line 2. Jonah, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jonah, go ahead.
Thank you. So this is like a chess game that's about to be a checkmate. And when it happens, it's going to happen brutally fast. You said a moment ago, Jay, that's your opinion that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Paint this more of a picture of what it looks like when it happens and how it happens. Is there a coup that gets put down brutally? Do the mullahs have an exit strategy? What does Iran start to look like after this works?
So here's what you have. That's a great question. Remember, it's going to be, number one, it's going to take millions of people on the streets of Iran. You saw that in 2009. Now, the mullahs and the regime, the The Iranian Revolutionary Guard put that down, and nobody backed them, including the United States. Basically, we let that flounder. You have the if you have world opinion supporting the Iranian people, things are going to change drastically. The other thing is you have, which right now developed, and I think this is what's so significant, Jonah, is you have an intercleric disagreement. You did not have that before. So you've got the Ayatollahs blaming the politicians, but the imams in the mosques blaming the Ayatollahs. And that is different than we've ever seen in this conflict before. And that is what Jordan can have, I mean, you're the one who said this, really dramatic, dramatic repercussions.
Yes, I think if you handle it correctly, and you've already got an eye on that, that these clerics are starting to move in with the same protesters who they would usually like to do away with and endorse getting rid of, but have realized that the economic issue is a concern because that's what causes people to revolt ultimately. And who becomes the target? Well, the guy leading the prayer in Tehran every Friday, which is a very high position because you're appointed directly by the Ayatollah. He's older, but still radical. So, you don't want to forget that there will be those who try to save themselves by saying, oh, now I'm going to join this movement. And they pulled that in 1979. And who came out? The people who are armed. So that will become a next issue is how does that work covertly? And we've seen the issues with that. You don't want to go arming people that become ISIS, which I think happened in Syria. So you didn't really know who the rebels were and which rebel groups became al-Nusra, which is al-Qaeda, and which groups became ISIS. So you don't want to pull that. You've got to make sure the right people are empowered if it gets to that level. And that's still an if at this point. It still is a big if.
Yeah, so the big if here is whether the people on the streets are going to react, Harry, to this on these economic sanctions. But you think the economic sanctions will be the impact of those will start being felt now?
Absolutely. And the impact will be felt by Iranian leaders. They will no longer have access, for instance, to their funds, to their monies that are held abroad. They will not be able to transfer funds back to Iran. And so this may lead to some internal infighting in Iran, which will lead ultimately to the collapse of the regime.
All right, we're coming up to the last segment of this broadcast this hour. Man, it didn't move quick. A lot of information here. So if you want to talk to us, our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. But it is the last segment of the broadcast, which means you can ask us other questions on other topics if you'd like. So 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. During the break coming up, we're going to get into some of the questions and comments that we're getting from Facebook and Periscope, because we can talk to our Facebook and Periscope audience during these breaks. So we'll do that. But again, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, again, the ACLJ's matching challenge at aclj.org. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
welcome back. Lynn on Facebook said, the leaders in Iran are liars. How can we negotiate with them? Well, you can. Because it's depending on what's going to happen on the streets of Iran. That's going to tell us a lot. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. It's the last segment. So we take calls on a variety of topics. Although we're getting a lot of calls on this Iran topic, that's for sure. Let's go ahead and go right back to the phones.
Yeah, Bill's calling in from Wyoming on line 3. Bill, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill, go ahead.
Good day to you, gentlemen. Yep. First of all, let me say real quick, I enjoy reading all the books that you've been putting out.
Oh, thank you.
Keep up the good work.
We'll do it.
Here's the way I look at it. If, and I'll emphasize if, Iran would have kept her word, okay, and used the uranium to develop power for the people, yep, you know, to supply power to the houses, homes and all this, use the money, put it into the economy, and stop funding terrorism, would we be discussing this today? My answer would be no.
No, but they made the decision to take that money and to be continue to be the world's largest sponsor of state sponsor of terrorism globally. So that was the decisions the Ayatollahs made. But you do have this unique break right now that's going on inter-cleric with the imams in the mosques blaming the Ayatollahs and the Ayatollahs blaming the political leaders, and that leads to more unrest. So it's a very interesting and unusual framework, Wes, that we're seeing right now.
It really,
very unusual.
Yeah, very, very unusual. And it takes a lot of courage for an Iranian citizen to demonstrate. The secret police there is everywhere. Their prisons are full. Executions, summer executions are common. And so the people are to be admired, but it's going to take a lot more of them on the street to affect this change.
And probably get violent. I mean, you can't overthrow a government typically without a blood coup unless like the military changes sides. You know?
Is there any chance that the Revolutionary Guard would, if they get?
Oh, I mean,
if the money
I think
stops.
They would love that, but then you're empowering the radical. You're empowering the guys that you don't want to have. To keep that nuclear issue. No, you've got to get rid of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. You have to get rid of the Ayatollah, or else it's not a real. That's
a
phony.
Between their regular military and the Revolutionary Guard, it's really, really.
What do the numbers look like, though?
The regular military is over 500,000 people. It's much larger than the Revolutionary Guard Corps, but they have the power. They answer directly to the Ayatollah.
But what if you had a conflict between? What if you did have a conflict between the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and the regular Iranian military?
That would be a possibility of success.
War.
A real civil war, but the military, they might be able to pull it off.
Yeah. How much of the economy is impacted by that, Harry? I mean, is this all going on simultaneously?
Well, I would argue that it at least 20 to 30% of their economy is driven by military adventurism. And in addition to that, Iran faces a huge corruption problem. So it's very, very possible that if you look at the funds that Iran received from the Iranian nuclear deal, perhaps more than 50 or 60% of those funds were misspent. And this has fueled unrest in the country, and justifiably so.
You know, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard owns most of the major businesses. So this is a you're talking about a big sea change. But here's what John Bolton said about this just yesterday.
I think governments all around the world and businesses should be asking themselves, regardless of the nuclear deal, why do you want to do business with the world's largest financer of international terrorism, really the central bank of international terrorism? Do your shareholders feel good that you're doing business with a terrorist regime?
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing I think everybody needs to ask.
All right, we're going to go right back to the phones at 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, William in Georgia on line 5. William, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey, William, you're on the air.
Hey, J.A. Jordan. Here's the big thing. For me, I totally agree with what President Trump is doing as far as like these sanctions with Iran, because it totally beats what the Obama administration had done for this leading from behind thing. But the main thing I wanted to get you guys to understand is that just as surely as the Bible says that pride comes before destruction and the Holy Spirit before a great fall, so the same thing is going to happen with President Rouhani, because his own people, I wouldn't be surprised, would even come and do a mutiny against him.
Well, look, I mean, I think it's multi-directional. I think you're going to have the clerics. I think the Ayatollahs are going to blame the Rouhani. I think the people are going to blame the Ayatollahs and Rouhani. And I think the military is going to blame everybody. That's how I see it, Jordan.
Yeah, you're going to see. Now, and it's whether or not it comes to a head, whether or not, I mean, there's different ways this can turn out. You can get to a negotiating table. That may calm things down because maybe sanctions get some relief there if they take any measures. We will see now how, one, dedicated these the religious leaders are in facing a different kind of U.S. government. We'll see that. We'll see the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, if they're going to put up with the monetary loss. Are they really that? Are they radical in the sense of being willing? I mean, they've shown in the past they were. So we'll see. Now they've gotten much richer and much more used to these business side. So that's part two. Part three is, let's not forget they're in some military fishing expeditions right now in the region, and so it's not like they're all centralized back in Iran and that's all they got to worry about is domestic. They've got issues backing up Hezbollah with the Assad government, Hezbollah in Lebanon, in Yemen. I mean, you're taking on a lot of people when you're going to pick on the United States, the Saudis. I mean, these are serious militaries. I even think the Saudi military alone poses a more serious threat to Iran than they could combat, because they have our kind of technology,
Sherry,
our kind of weaponry.
Sherry on Facebook says, do we know where all the money went that the Obama administration gave them? Yes, went to the Ayatollahs, and it went to Hamas and Hezbollah and other terrorist organizations. It increased their coffers for terrorism. That's what happened. All right, let's take the last caller here.
And they got stuck in Syria.
Yeah.
I mean, so that became drawn out, and billions of dollars goes away pretty quick. We're in a full-on civil war to keep someone in power like the Assad government. Billy in California, line one. Billy, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Billy. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks for doing what you do. You know, my question is really, how are these sanctions going to affect the operation of tech companies? And if not, why don't we target companies like Google, Microsoft, Foxconn, Broadcom?
Well, it's not us targeting. It's the question of whether they're going to do business with Iran. Harry, how does that work?
Well, I think
that's part of it is on the technology. I mean, that's already in this phase, actually.
So I think the caller raises a very good question, because the tech companies have been notably complicit in basically helping despotic governments in China and probably Iran and Russia. So they would rather cave to those despotic governments than support free speech. And so one of the things that the United States should look into is how we can bring direct pressure on Google and Apple with respect to any transactions, A, with Iran, and B, make sure that the Iranian people have free access to information.
So here's what I also want to say. I mean, that's part of it. What you want to make sure is the Iranian people can utilize the technology, because that helps in the revolution. When I say the revolution, the internal revolution that's going to go on, the civil war, conflict that might go on, the taking to the streets, that ability to communicate that way is essential.
I don't want to get into controversy surrounding Facebook and these podcasts that have happened, but let's be honest, they're no good, these companies right now. And they're no good even here in the United States. So imagine what they're pulling to do business in these kind of countries like China. We know what they're doing. They monitor people for the government, and they censor those who they don't like politically.
So I trust that Facebook will not be censoring the resistance movement in Iran. I trust.
I don't know these things.
Hope they don't prove us wrong. All right, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Again, thanks for listening. We are going to keep engaged with you. We do that through our social media platforms. That's Facebook, Periscope, Twitter. We encourage you to do that. We got a lot more news on this tomorrow and the days ahead. But don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. We will talk to you tomorrow as more issues develop. Have a good day.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.